25th of Matthew. It's a portion that we're all familiar with. But you know, the precious word of God is inexhaustible. Inexhaustible. Yes, the more we read it, the more we learn, and the more we find there is to learn. Yes. So I'll read to you a few verses of the beginning at the first verse of the 25th chapter of Matthew. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Excuse me, I had to get up a little closer. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Here in this portion, we have two classes of people. Two classes of people. Ever since, people have been born into this world, there have been two classes of people. You start back with Cain and Abel. What do we have? We have within those two men, two classes of people. You know, sin is a thing that didn't start to work 100 years, or 50 years, or 10 years after it begun. Sin is something that you cannot play with, is an expression. No. So we see, and the first two people that was born in the world, how sin began to work. Sure did. Yes. So we see that Abel was, as we would express it, was a man of God. But Cain was a man that was against God. Sure was. Yes. And so on down the whole course of man's life, they have been two classes of people. Two classes. Of course, we know those two classes are divided into other classes. But tonight we're speaking about those that belong to the Lord or those that do not belong to the Lord. And that's the difference. When one comes to close his eyes in death in this scene, what matters? What matters other than whether you know the Lord or you don't know the Lord? That's right. Many of us have been to funerals. And you look over in the casket. Yes. And the question would come into your mind. Where is he? Where is she? Yes. What a sad and solemn thing. So we find that here in this portion I've just read was two classes of people. Two classes of people. And There were five. And then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Yes, there's 10 of them. 10 of them. So we find that 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Yes. That doesn't say that half people are saved and half people are lost. That's not what I'm talking about. No. Speaking is that there's 2 classes of them. 2 classes. Yes. Every one of us in this room tonight is in one of those classes. Sure is. In one of that class. You know, many years ago, I found John 3:16 in the Bible. Yes. Come to know John 3:16. Well, we might take a little time to tell how I come to know that. I was doing a job of work down below during the Depression days when, you know, work was scarce and there wasn't much. And I'd just begun in business for myself. And I had a job about 20 miles below Rome, a little town called Cedartown. We were building the Harps home, man. And I had the job of, back in those days, it's called material hauler. That is, most everything that come in to build buildings was come in on the railroad, you know. Wasn't trucked in like it is now. And I took the contract to unload everything that come in by car and deliver it on the job. I followed that for several years. And every morning, as I'd come from Rome, go down by the railroad yard and see if there was any cars or stuff come in to unload. And so there was a fella in the truck with me. And as I drove down there to look at, to see, I saw what's called a low side gun, that is loaded with sand. And across the whole length of that car was wrote, John 3:16. Now, them letters was about that high. You know how long a railroad car is. Well, my name's John, you know. And, of course, that attracted me. Then I knew that that was scripture. Well, I'd heard John 3:16, like a many of you children, all your lives. Sure had. But did I really know John 3:16? Yeah. And so in that, I'd stayed on my mind all day. I worked all day, worked. So when I went back home at night, well, I got my Bible down and I looked at John 3:16. And what did I find? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's the word I found in there, that whosoever, oh, you know, whosoever took me in. Sure it is. It took me in. And it took you in. It takes us all in. Whosoever. Whosoever does what? Believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, what a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. You know, it's wonderful to just rest upon the word of God. To believe God. Well, many years later, I was reading the Bible one night, laying on a couch, coming home, you know, tired and everything. You lay down to relax. I get my Bible. You know, in there, I read of another whosoever. Yes, I did. Well, it made me feel bad. I didn't rejoice over that one. Why? Because it says that whosoever, this is Revelation 20 or 21, someone might correct me. Yes. That whosoever name is not written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. Well, I wasn't worried about being cast into the lake of fire. But I was just thinking of those that was in the second whosoever. Yeah. Whosoever. So you see, there's two classes of people. There's two classes. Certainly is. And so tonight, which one are you in? Yeah. Which one of the whosoevers are you in? The Lord should come tonight. Death should overtake you. None of us have got a guarantee that we'll get back home over to our motel. Certainly haven't. None of us has got a lease on life. Certainly hasn't. As I've told before, one night we finished speaking in the jail there, and it was when we had the room about as big as this room here, and they'd put you in it, you know, and they'll lock you up in it. And then when you got through speaking, why, then you'd shake the door and holler and just keep shaking and keep hollering. They'd come let you out. Well, if the jailer was busy and he didn't come right up, then after you got through speaking, you had an opportunity to speak to individuals. That is, some of them would come up and talk to you and ask you some questions and different things. And so there in that jail was a boy I'd known all my life. And I saw that he looked like he wanted to be saved. Wanted to be saved. We call it under conviction. But I say he just looked like he wanted to be saved. And so I put my arm around him and called him by name and said, "Bud, you need the Lord as Savior." He was there for drink. And he always was wanting to quit, but he just couldn't. I said, "Bud, I tell you what, if you'll take the Lord as Savior and if you'll just turn it over to Him, He'll take the drink away from you. Just take the Lord as Savior." I read some scriptures to him and I pled to him. And so directly the jailer come unlocked the door. And so he says to me with tears in his eye, "John, I tell you," we was going on Thursday night then, "John, I tell you, next Thursday night when you come back, I'll take him as Savior." I said, "Oh, but take Jesus now. Take him now is the time. John, I tell you, I'll take him next Thursday." On a Saturday night, they carried him out of that jail just as dead as he is right now. Sure did. Poor Bud. Yes. So I'll tell you, boys and girls, men and women, salvation is something you cannot trifle with. You certainly can't. Why? Because you have no lease on life. No lease on life. Now I'll say again, is in one of these classes. Certainly are. You in the class that belongs to the Lord or not belong to the Lord. There's no middle ground. You talk to a lot of people nowadays and they take the attitude of neutral, you know. I'm neither for nor against. A neutral ground. You'd be surprised how many that takes that attitude. But I want to tell you, in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, when the rich man there was talking to Abraham, what did he tell him? Did he tell him there was a middle ground? No, he says. Oh, no. There's a great gulf. Yeah. Between us. And it's fixed. It's there. You can't get across it. That's right. There's no place for him to stand. There's no middle ground. Oh, I know there's lots of you boys and girls, and so was I, raised in a good Christian home. One of the first things I can remember is my father and mother praying for me. Certainly was. And that's wonderful. Certainly is. You need to thank God that you're born in a home that your parents know the Lord. Oh, yes. What a wonderful privilege it is. Certainly is. But I'll tell you, you are born lost, and you have to take Christ for yourself. We cannot go to heaven upon our parents' salvation. I'll read it to you in just a minute. Right in the will. Let's read on down just a little bit more. Yeah. And the five of them were wise and five were foolish. I want to say now that those who receive Christ as Savior, God says you're wise. Says if you read the Word, it'll make you wise unto salvation. Certain well. But what about those that reject you? What about a fool? You wouldn't want to be called a fool, would you? I wouldn't. Certainly wouldn't. But God brands you as a fool. Isn't that sad? So he says five are wise and five are foolish. Let's find out why. Why were part of them wise and why were part of them foolish? So, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Well, it would sound sort of foolish, wouldn't it? If we were going out and needed a light tonight, you know, and back in those days they didn't have flashlights and electric lanterns. They had, back in my days when I was coming up, we had kerosene lanterns, you know. If you're going out in the dark, take them with you. And so it would be rather foolish to go out on to make a trip here tonight and take a lantern and not have no oil in it, wouldn't it? Sure would. Sure would. Well, we know the lantern speaks to us of profession. Speaks to us of profession. Well, you can go down here on the streets of one of your cities anytime you want to, and you can just stop people after people and speak to them, and you'll find that they make a profession. Certainly make a profession. But that's not what takes you into the presence of God. Certainly isn't. What is it? It's the blood of Christ. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Certainly is. So they took the lanterns and took no oil with them. Well, that's what you'd say about me if I'd done that tonight and went out in the dark, wouldn't you? You'd say, that fellow was foolish. Yes, that's just simple. So we find, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Well, you know the question Ben rose. It said it didn't go in their lamps. Yes, I think the lamps was full of oil. They didn't know how long the journey was going to be. And so what they done, they just took a jug of oil along with them. Have plenty supply. That's right. You know, to be saved is a wonderful thing. Certainly is. But we need a supply. We need to read the Word and learn what the Lord has for us, you know. Certainly do. So that's what the wise did. Yes, they carried the oil with them, a supply. I'll tell you now, we need a supply. Certainly do. We're in an enemy's land. So, what takes place? What takes place? Well, we find that while a bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Well, you know, that's a bad state for both saved and lost to get in, and especially those that are saved. Yes, you know, we who are the Lord's should be a light in the dark form. Truly, this world is in darkness. Yes, we should be able to have some little light for the Lord. Yes, some light. But we find that they all slumbered and slept. That is, you couldn't tell one from the other. Couldn't tell one from the other. And isn't it true today? It's hard to tell the saved from the unsaved. Yes. You get out in the world today, an expression is, it's just rub shoulders with people, you'll find it's hard to tell the saved from the unsaved. Certainly is. Yes. And so we find they slumbered and slept. I want to say to you tonight, sinner friend, Are you slumbering and sleeping? Are you going on down the road of life indifferent towards your own soul? Your own soul. You know you have a never dying soul. You have a soul that'll go on forever and forever. Sure have. Sure have. How people today would like to live like they'd want to live and die and forget it all. Just die and be dead. But that's not true, you know. It's not true. So, while it tarried, yes, slumbered and slept, then we find at midnight, Well, midnight speaks to us of a quiet time when everything is asleep, don't it? Yep. When everything is asleep. Then comes the cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Well, all of us here have heard from time we can remember of the coming of the Lord. Yes, we have. Ye children of the saints certainly are blessed in that way. Yes. We know about the coming of the Lord. There's one here tonight that doesn't know about the coming of the Lord. I want to say to you, he's coming. Yes, he is. What's he coming for? It's a good question. He's coming for his own. Are you one of his own? Yes, here comes the class. Are you one that isn't his own? You have to answer that for yourself. I can't look at a soul here tonight and say this one's saved and that one's lost. This one's lost and that one's saved. No, I can't do that. And neither can you. No, neither can you. Oh, we know one by their testimony in different ways. Yes, certainly do. But God knows his own. God knows his own. I just want to turn to a verse in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is a verse that our brother Charlie Gardner, many of us here remember brother Charlie Gardner. He used to read this verse quite often. And it's never has left my mind. But I can't say it from memory, so I have to turn to it. Yes. Verse 19 of the second chapter of 2 Timothy. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Yes. When the Lord comes, there be no mistakes made. He knows his. Yes. But won't it be a sad thing for those that went on in profession? Those that thought they were all right. You know, I read a statement the other night in reading the notes, I believe it was, on the St. Louis meeting in 1925. Little book of reading it, I certainly enjoyed it. And in this statement was said, there was a power in Christianity. Yes, there was a power in Christianity. That is, over people. People went on with it, thinking, I don't know, but a lot of people, you know, are religious. And they want to go on with that. And that's what we have here in the five wise and the five foolish. Yes. Oh, how sad it be for the Lord to come and find out that you wasn't his. The Lord knows his own. Let me read that verse again. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. What is the foundation? Well, a lot of us here, you know, familiar with the building business. And you know, a building is no better than the foundation. No, it isn't. No better than the foundation. And the foundation of God is sure. Yes, it is. Sure. So it starts right down at the bottom. Right at the bottom. Yes. And so that the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal or approval or whatever expression you want. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Are you one of His? Here's another class. Sure is. Those that are His. That's right. What did you have to say right here? What I just read a while ago. When the door was shut, they come saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. Yeah. What's the answer? I don't know you. Don't know you. Oh, wouldn't that be a sad thing to wind up in eternity and God say to you, I don't know you. I don't know you. Oh, what a sad thing that'd be. Yes. Sad thing that'd be. Well, I'll tell you tonight, if you without the Lord Jesus Christ, if you haven't received the Lord Jesus as Savior, that's what the answer will be. Makes no difference how good a boy or girl you've been, how good a man or woman you've been, how nice and upright life you've been. There's nothing wrong with that. Not at all. Brother Ryan has the answer for that, you know. But that won't bring you into the presence of a holy and a righteous God. Oh, no. What will? It's just exactly what Paul and Silas said to the Philippian jailer in the 16th of Acts. They said to him, what must I do to be saved? Yes. What must I do to be saved? He didn't say to that jailer, well, I tell you what, you need to quit beating these people here with that whip just unmercifully. And then not even giving them nothing to eat or nothing else. And sticking them down in the inner cell way down there where a human being can't hardly live. You need to straighten up, fella. Oh, no. Oh, no. No. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Oh, what a simple statement. What a simple statement. You know, I worked for a man during the war. We was in the mining business. He was a fine fella. And unquestionably, he was raised in a Christian home. He told me how his mother, when he was a boy, held her in his lap and on her knees and read the Bible to him every night, prayed with him. He was a well-educated man. He was trained for the state police of New York State. Yes, college graduate. And I talked to Jack about the Lord time after time. And he would say to me, John, that's fine, but you've got to do something else. John, that just won't do. You got to do something else. I'd say, Jack, what else have you got to do? And I say to you tonight, you can do everything you can think of, as long as you want to, and as much of as you want to, and fail to take Jesus as Savior in that class of the lost. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yeah. And so, the Lord knoweth them that are His. What a wonderful thing to be known by God. Well, you know, I perhaps would feel a little bigger if I was known by the governor of Kentucky, you know. Yes. I'd feel a little bit, you know, straightened up. Supposing I was known by the president of the United States. I'd still feel a little bigger, wouldn't I? But I'll tell you right now, that wouldn't do me a bit of good if I close my eyes in death. But if I'm known of God, that's the difference. Oh, yes. Does God know you tonight? Does God know you as one of His own tonight? Oh, if you don't, if He doesn't, turn to Jesus. Turn to the one who is able to save unto the utmost all that come unto Him by faith. That's right. Yes. Able to. I'm able to do a few things. You're able to do a few things. But you're not able to do all things. You're not. And I want to say to you, you're not able to save yourself. No, you're not. No. But Jesus is. Yes, He can save you. Oh, what a wonderful thing. So, for the Lord to know you, to know you. So we'll turn back now to where we were. Turn back. And we'll speak again about the wise and the foolish. The wise and the foolish. You know, I often think about the man in Luke's gospel, I believe it is, that, you know, had an abundant crop. Had an abundant crop. There's nothing wrong with that. He had a good farm. Yes, produced well. You know, God's the one that gives the increase. God gave him the increase. Sure. Number in here tonight are farmers. And they know they can prepare the land. They can sow the seed. But if God don't give the increase, you still have no crop. Sure don't. And so, then he had such a crop that he tore his barns down. Didn't have room to stack it. Oh, that's a blessing of God on him. God has blessed each and every one of us here tonight. Just think of being born and raised in a land and country where the gospel goes out freely. Sure does. Yes. Think about being born in a land and country where it's prohibited. That's right. I'll tell you, God has blessed us. Certainly has. All that we who pray might pray that the gospel might continue to go out. We know that the enemy seeks to close it down. Certainly does. And so this man, he received the blessings of God. Yes. You receive the blessings of God every day, saved or lost. What about the health you enjoy? That's right. A lot of us here know a little something about it now, don't we? Sure do. Yeah. What about the air you breathe? What about a good sound mind you got? Just stop checking up. Check up and you'll see the blessings you enjoy. So this man in Luke, what did he do? Well, he took care of this stuff. Got it all put in his barns. Does he get down on his knees and thank God for it? No, he don't. No, he don't. He says, soul, take thy ease. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Oh, wasn't that a fool? Yes. He had no lease on life either. He left God out of his life. He left God out of everything. But God says to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. If that was said of you tonight, where would your soul be? Where would it be? Oh, I'll tell you, dear ones, salvation is something not to be trifled with. That's right. Every man must give an account of himself to God. That man's got to give an account. Certainly has. You have too.
Unless you've already done it.
Yes. I give an account to God over 35 years ago. What account did I give to God? What account can you give? I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Yes. And I take Jesus as Savior. Yes. Christ died for sinners. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. Yes. You know, said to me one time, it's been a good long while ago, when I first began to speak, a brother said, don't never point your finger and tell people they're sinners. Don't never point your finger and tell people they're sinners. I said, oh, my, that's what Jesus died for, was sinners. That's right. Yes, I had the finger pointed at me when I was lost outside of God and told a sinner. I don't like it. No, I didn't. Certainly don't. But I'll tell you now, I'd rather bow before God than own that I'm a sinner now. When you'll have to stand before Him, not as a Savior, but a judge at the great white throne. The Scripture says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You'll have to do it. My father used to say to me, son, if you don't do it now, you'll have to then. That's right. I was nearly 26 years old before I was saved. Yes. One of the greatest things I regret in life, that I waited so long. But one of the only things I'm happy over, I didn't wait no longer than I did. That's right. Yes. So, you'll have to bow to God and own you're a sinner. I don't want to take up too much time, but I'd like to tell this a little experience. We was working on a job up near Chattanooga once. And it was in the wintertime, sort of, and it's cold. Got ready to come home. I took this job over. Was taking it over from a man, and he had his labor on it and things. And so, me and my brother was there. We had a pickup, had a heater and the glasses all in it. And an old-like gentleman was working there with us just as a labor. And we got ready to go. I noticed he was standing pretty close to the pickup. The labor truck, you notice, had a canvas over it, and it's cold. I said, Pop, would you like to ride with us? He said, yeah. I said, get in. Well, we got in. We started on down the road a piece. And he sat in the middle. Hadn't gone far till he says, I understand you're a preacher. I said, well, I belong to the Lord and love to tell the story of Jesus and how He loves me and how He saved me. Well, that's about all I had to say. And he began to talk to me then. And I listened to him very carefully, what he had to say. And so he just about run down. And I sensed in his conversation that he was a perfect man, that he had never sinned. That's the conclusion that I drew. And I called him by name. I said, Mr. So-and-so, are you not a sinner? He said, no, I'm not a sinner. No, I've never sinned. Well, I tell you, I sure am sorry for you. He looked at me right funny. He says, huh? I said, yes, I sure certainly do feel sorry for you. Well, of course, I kept dwelling on that. He said, why? So you don't have a Savior. You don't have a Savior. I said, Scripture says that Christ died for sinners. Come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. Well, he said to me, though, after listening a little while, he said, well, I might have sinned just a little bit. Well, you know, God doesn't measure sin in big and little and medium size. I trust that it reached His heart. Certainly do. Yes. So, we all have to own to God we're sinners and take that place. And Jesus will save you. Say, well, He'll save you. I so often say to the men in the jail, they'll need nobody in heaven but sinners washed in the precious blood of Christ. That's right. Yeah. Poor sinners washed in the precious blood of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Well, let's go on here. Our time's going away. Then all the virgins rose. They went out to meet the bridegroom. Then all the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Yes, I'll tell you now, you can go right on down the current of life today and slide right along easily. And you'll find that the rough and parts of life will be a little more easier for you. And everybody seeks to take the easy course of life. But there'll come a time when you'll need what those of the Lord's have got. Yes, it is. You'll need it. And there come the time that they needed the oil. Of course, we all know that the oil speaks of us, of the Spirit of God that's indwelt, that dwells in every believer. Certainly does. And they needed that. They needed that. And so what do they say? Give us of your oil. Oh, yes. Well, I want to say to you tonight, you can have all the salvation that's needed. Yes, all that's needed to take you home in the glory. But you haven't got one little bit that you can give away. Not a bit. I can't give you 1 ounce of my salvation. Not 1 ounce of it. No, I can't. All I can do for you is tell you about one who stands with outstretched arms tonight, willing and ready to give you all that's needed. Certainly can. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly does. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and He's not going to send you to somebody else. He's not going to send you to some other place to get it. I will give you. What a blessed thing. What a blessed thing. I'll give you. Yes, it comes from the proper source, the right source. Certainly does. From the one who shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary. And they say, give us of your oil. Give us of your oil. How we used to look at our two little girls when they were babies. Of course, me and my wife loved them. Certainly they did. We were married over 11 years before there's a child in our home. And we did all we could do for them. And I'd say to her, Mother, we can pray for them and all, but they'll have to take Jesus as Savior for themselves. We couldn't give them that. We couldn't give them that. Certainly can't. No, I'll tell you, dear ones, we all love our children, but we'll have to point them to one who is able. Oh, yes. Yes, point them to one who's able. And so, that's what they do now. They run to him. But what's the answer? What's the answer? Well, we find that these people now, just from looking at it, didn't associate together just exactly. And what do they do? And they say to them, but the wise answered, saying, not so. Lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. Yeah. Now that's the answer they got. Well, you're going to say to me, you can't buy salvation. It's a gift of God. That's true. Oh, what a wonderful thing. But hadn't they been working for their salvation? Working for it? Oh, they'd been gone on in profession now working for it. Today you find it's just work, 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 work. That's all it is, work, work, work. I lay 20 some odd days in the hospital there some 3 or 4 years ago. And after I got where people come to see me, there was from one to three ministers a day come to see me. They talked to me. And when I got the feeling, well, I like to talk to them. But what did I hear? What did they tell me? It was a works platform. A works platform. Everything we have today is a works platform. And right now, they're getting what they work for. They didn't get that which they needed. Go to them that sell and buy. What did they have to sell? Yes, nothing. Nothing to sell. No, they didn't. They had been selling them all the time on a works platform. But the Lord, as I quoted a minute ago, the Lord Jesus says, come to him. Come to him. 55th of Isaiah says, come ye. Well, can't quote it. Just a moment, I'll read it to you. It's 55th of Isaiah. It's a part of... First verse, latter half of it. Come ye buy and eat. Come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Yes, salvation is a gift of God. And it's given to you when you replace faith in the finished work of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you seeking to work for your salvation tonight? Are you seeking to work for it? If you are, stop working. You can't make enough to buy it. Certainly can't. How often we say to the boys in jail there, they're without money, they're penniless. They're always wanting you to give them a dime or 15 cents, you know, to buy them a drink or cigarettes or something. And you can say to them, boys, suppose there had been a prize of $500 put on salvation. Could you get it tonight? Could you get it? Suppose there had been a prize of $200. Could you be saved tonight? Suppose there had been a prize of $50. Oh, I'll tell you. Salvation is in the reach of every man, woman, and child. They'll have it. They'll have it. Certainly will. God put it where they all come. It's without money and without price. Yes. And a gift. There's no price on it, you know. No price on it. Certainly isn't. Time doesn't permit me. I can tell you for more illustration. But I better go on. Yes. Go to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now what takes place? They go back to those that I suppose they had been going on with. And leading them in a certain path, but it was a false path. And so they seek to go back to them to find out the straight and the wrong. Yeah, but when they come back, what do they find? What do they find? They find that, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him. Yes, yes. Oh, I'll tell you, one of the things that I enjoy so much is, it's in the 15th of 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, in a moment and a twinkling of an eye, the Lord comes and takes every one of his own to be with him. Takes every one. I'll take this little time. You'll have to excuse the personal illustrations. But I'm going to say this. I know more about myself than I do anybody else. See? But I was in a prayer meeting years ago. And I had... our expression is, got away from the Lord. I was. Yes. We all... some do that. But we have a great advocate. Yes. One we can go to. And we'll confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us. And he doesn't stop there. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What about that? Yes. And so I was rejoicing in the Lord. It was in a private home in a prayer meeting. And I was going out the door. And this lady said to me, the lady of the house. Oh, she's asked me how I was feeling or something or other. I said, oh, fine, fine, sister, fine. And I said, I trust I'll be going on with the Lord as in this attitude and going on with the Lord as long as I live, as long as I live. Well, she said, how long? I said, as long as the Lord leaves me here. As long as the Lord leaves me here. Says, how long is the Lord going to leave you, Mr. Lloyd? I said, I just don't know, sister. And she says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, he's a-coming. We are left here moment by moment. What a precious thing. What a precious thing. Sisters, there's a place for sisters. I want to say that. Yes. Oh, I'll tell you, if you're without Christ tonight, in a moment, we may be gone. When we're gone, what takes place? The door is shut. That's right, it's shut. And that's the door of grace. I want to tell you now, we're living in the greatest age that man ever has or ever will live on this earth. That's right. And it's a day of grace. And the door of grace is soon swung to, never to open again to mankind as it is open tonight. That's right. Oh, yes. And so that's what took place here. Yes, and while they were gone, they come back, it's too late. Oh, isn't that a sad thing? That a sad thing? Yes. So, and the door was shut. Then they come and say to the Lord, open up to us. Open up to us. Yes. And verse 13. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you. It's a personal thing. It wasn't a group of people. I know you not. Will that be the answer to you? Will that be the answer? There be one here tonight. Just without the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not washed in that precious blood. Don't go out that door without taking him as Savior. Don't go out it. Why? Because the Lord may come before you get wherever you're going after you go out it. That's right. And the Lord is coming for his own. Remember that. The Lord is not coming back here to straighten the world out. He's coming for his own to take them out of the world. Oh, what a precious thing it is to be one of the Lord's. To be one of the Lord's. I'll say this in closing. There's nothing like being saved. Nothing like being saved. May we turn to him. Number 8, shall we gather at his coming, when the dead in Christ arise. Dead.